National Hockey League presents The Great One-on-One.
Gretzky's got the open net. Gretzky, will he shoot? He does. He scores! Wayne Gretzky's 50th goal in 39 games. He has broken the record. Gretzky has done the unbelievable.
Wayne Gretzky catches up with some of hockey's best to reflect on their past Stanley Cup runs.
The waiting is over. The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions. And this one will last a lifetime.
Going one-on-one with six-time Stanley Cup winner Mark Messier, here's Wayne.
Thanks for doing the show, Mark. It's always great talking hockey with you.
Always great talking hockey with you, Wayne. Good to be on with you.
Listen, I think the biggest question of all people want to know, the first time you actually get to lift the Stanley Cup, the thoughts and the reminiscing that goes through your mind when you lift the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think for me and probably all of us, if I can speak for everybody, it was a dream come true. A lifetime dream of playing hockey and watching hockey on TV and seeing the Stanley Cup being held by the great Montreal Canadian teams and the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers and all the teams growing up, and to the point where we had an opportunity to do it ourselves. And I think for me, a lot of the reminiscing came during the playoffs when we got inched our way closer to the finals, and then of course on the eve of the night we won the Stanley Cup. Tough to sleep that night, thinking about, you know, getting a chance to lift the Stanley Cup, what it would mean. But until you actually do it, until that final buzzer goes and the game's over and there's no more games to be played, and you get that opportunity to lift the Stanley Cup, it is quite a moment. That is hard to put into words, but something that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and, you know, we were lucky we grew up together, yourself and me and Paul Coffey and Kevin Lowe. And I think that when you do win the Stanley Cup, just explain to the people how important, how much of a contribution your mom and dad and your grandparents and your, you know, your brother and sisters, how important of a role they play, not just when you pick up the cup, but all the way to get to lifting the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we always used to say that when you win, the stage is big enough for all of us. And so everybody's going to get their due credit when you play on a winning team. And I think that's, you know, for us, that's where the unselfishness came from, is knowing that, you know, nobody can win alone, and it takes an entire team in order to win, not only on the ice, but the support staff around it. And the same thing, you know, for, you know, what you and I were able to see our whole careers is the people that helped us, starting with the family and your mom and dad and the commitments they make to the process through minor hockey. And then, of course, all the volunteer coaches that, you know, make such a huge impact on your life. And the people around the game. So I think as important as family is, obviously, there's so many more people that put any one player in a position to, you know, become a champion in the NHL. But not only that, but just even to make the NHL. So, yeah, I think there's just so many people to thank that you're grateful for, that were in your life, that took the time to help you, to mentor you, to coach you, to teach you, to tell you what you needed to hear even though you didn't like it. And of course, two of the most important people, you know, for me were my mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I tell people all the time that I had the good fortune of playing with you, and you were the greatest player that I ever played with. And there's been a lot of great players playing in the National Hockey League. But one of the things that always separated you from everyone else is your ability to play in big games and your ability to score big goals. And, you know, you could see the look on your face before those games and how focused you were. And yet you had that sense that you were feeling calm and cool going into a big game, and that sort of resonated throughout the entire hockey club. You just want to walk people through about how you felt and how you got mentally ready to be the best player you could be in the biggest games.
Well, I think it's a bit of a learned process for me over the years, and I think one of the things that you really rely on and what gives you confidence is the work that was put in prior to those big games, your work ethic, your commitment, your discipline, the many hours of honing your skills, the many hours of going through drills with the team, and so you can play in together as a team and synchronicity. Everybody's responsible for their own job. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into the big games that actually give you the confidence that you can be successful. And then I think you got to develop a self-belief in yourself that you're able to execute and not let the moment override the ability to perform. And I think that doesn't happen overnight. I think it takes years to hone that belief, and it takes obviously, unfortunately, some setbacks and some defeats and some bitter pills to swallow. But I think through it all, you learn more and more about yourself, and I think you learn more and more as a team, and to the point where you get to those moments there, and you know how to prepare, you know how to get yourself ready, you know how to breathe, and you play without thought of consequence. And I think the same goes for golfers and anybody else. If you let the end result get in the way of the process, it can affect your ability to perform under big lights or big moments.
The players look up to you and your teammates look to you as that not only inspirational leader, but the guy who's going to get the big goal or make a big play or get a big hit. Just talk a little bit about the importance of each and every guy, because it takes more than one or two guys who win a Stanley Cup. It takes a whole herd of people, 20 players and three or four extra guys that might go in and out of the lineup. Just talk a little bit about the importance of making everyone feel so part of the team, because you were so good at it and that was one of your best qualities, that each guy was treated equally.
I think nobody did it better than you in the years in Edmonton. They were, making Dave Semenko and God rest his soul and everybody else feel that whatever their role in the team was so important for the success of the team, and validate that role and make them feel that role is, without it, we can't win. And I think I always say that, if I had 20 Wayne Gretzky's on the team, we might not be champions there, because you need different people to do different jobs and you need the diversity of a team. And I always think the team elevates the special players and puts those special players in position to make great plays. And I think that's why hockey is such a unique sport, in that, it takes 20 players, and all 20 players, and probably the reserve squad to win a Stanley Cup. And there's so much wood to chop during a regular season, and of course into the playoffs, that the team support puts the great players in position to make special plays at special times in the games. And without those players and those role players and the players that are standing in front of the net and taking the beating, and the guys that are getting the puck out of the corners, and the guys that are getting the puck and blocking shots on the penalty kills, and the little things that go unnoticed, in the big picture, it's the little things that often put teams in position to win. And I think that's why I have so much gratitude for the players that I played with, that really accepted their role on the team and really did it to the best of their ability, because they knew that if they didn't, that it diminished our chances of winning there. And I think that's what, for me, stands out about the teams that I was able to win with.
As I tell people, every Stanley Cup is the same, in the sense that your euphoria of lifting the cup is so special. But going back to 1994 and, playing Game 6 in New Jersey sort of making the charge that we'll be back for Game 7. Was there any hidden sort of agenda or message to your own teammates and fans to say, okay, we're in a good spot? Or was it done just by coincidence? Or was it done to take some pressure off the rest of the guys on the hockey club?
Well, I think it was merely as a captain and a leader to let our team know that I really believed that we could win that game. Mm-hmm. And we had proven throughout the regular season that, you know, we were able to beat New Jersey. And I think as a captain, you're always monitoring the confidence of your team, and you're always looking for ways to motivate and to instill the belief as a team that we could win. And the fact is, I really did believe we could win the game, and I wanted our players to know it. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, obviously it's another thing to go out there and execute and win the game, but I don't think you can execute and win a game if you don't have the belief. And so I think the first step in that series was to try to wrestle back the momentum that we had lost early in the series, which is never easy, but mm-hmm. we had to figure out a way to do that. And the only way you can do that is if you believe you can do it. And I think by saying that I thought we could win game six, I was trying to instill the belief, or hopefully trying to instill the belief in the team that we could go in there and win game six and bring it back to the Garden for game seven.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of the Garden, and you win game seven, I believe, in overtime when Mateau scored, which was pretty outstanding for that young man. But more importantly, you guys went on to win the Stanley Cup in that year. Was there ever chatter or talk in the locker room amongst the players of the drought that the Ranger fans seemed to be in and following all those years?
Well, I think there was actually, and I think that, you know, for me, the greatest or one of the most important things coming to New York after Edmonton was the amazing fan base here in New York coming mm-hmm. from Edmonton. And Edmonton was such a small community, and you were absorbed in hockey everywhere. And for me, it felt very similar, even though it was a much bigger market. It felt the same coming to New York, that there was a passionate fan base, generations of fans who had followed the Rangers, who had never had an opportunity to see the Stanley Cup raise, and any functions that we did with the fans or with the community and all that, and always talking about you know, the disappointments and the defeats. And so the team had a very good understanding of the disappointments that had come across the team over the last 50 some years. And in a way, I think it really motivated us to, you know, erase that. It really motivated us to be the team that you know, ended the drought of 54 years. And so in a way, I think we use it as a motivation. It didn't paralyze us. And we had such a great connection with the fan base here in New York because of the character we had on the team and the relationship we had with the fan base. It seemed to be something that we use as a motivator, and it didn't inhibit our performance at all because of it.
Yeah, and one of the things that is most common is the importance of coaching. And maybe just talk a couple seconds about probably more the similarities between Glenn Sather and Mike Keenan, because both were successful coaches in their own right and Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, I think to me, in hockey in general, I think, in all coaching, I have a deep respect for. I think it's often maybe underestimated how important the coach is, even on a good team. And oftentimes, you know, people might have thought that, you know, you looked at our lineup in Edmonton, that, you know, anybody could have coached that team to a Stanley Cup. But that's the furthest thing from the truth, and you and I will attest to that. But, Mike and Glenn were, you know, obviously motivators. They kept the team focused on a daily basis. They didn't let players take shortcuts on or off the ice. They held everybody accountable from the first player to the last player on the team. And I think they were both excellent bench coaches. They knew how to use the players during the game, and you know, for yourself, Wayne or Glenn always used to know when to get you out there and how much to get you out there and in all the right situations. And Mike was very similar to that. He had a good feel for the game and for the players and who to have on the ice at certain times. And I think that was, you know, those two things were some of their big skill sets. You know, Glenn and Mike didn't spend a lot of time on the X and O's. They had other guys to do that, but they really spent their on the motivation part and keeping everybody accountable and present on a day-to-day basis, and it seemed to work for both of them.
Well, thanks for all your insight, and I'll tell one quick story that people don't know. Mark's big line used to always be, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk, and nobody walked the walk more than you did or any better than you did. You were one of the greatest players ever and one of the great captains and a good friend, and we really appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Wayne, and good luck to you guys.
Thanks for listening to The Great One-on-One, a presentation of the National Hockey League. A reminder to rate, review, and subscribe for free. The NHL Podcast Network is available wherever you get your podcasts and at NHL.com. This has been an NHL Studios production.